Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com, and this is the Pain Sci Updates podcast, a casual members-only podcast featuring audio versions of posts from the blog with some improvised digressions. Today, I'm reading the post, Germ Theory Denialism is the Flat Earth of Biology, published August 1st, 2024. I'm going to start with a description of a picture. I like both of the pictures in this post. I'm going to describe both of them. This one is a very yellow background of human cells with some bacteria on them. Bright, red, high quality, sharp, clear image. It's a scanning electron micrograph of some wee BCs that are less welcome at your picnic than wasps. Those bacteria are Salmonella typhimurium, invading some cultured human cells. It is weird that we can easily get many and much better pictures of bacteria than any blurry, bogus UFO or Sasquatch, and yet many people believe in the latter more than the former. We live in an age of surreal denial. I wrote about cholesterol denialism earlier this year, which can get pretty strange, but it's nothing compared to the weirdness of germ theory denialism. Much like the flat earth thing, it is hard for many people to believe that anyone would deny that bacteria and viruses exist and can cause disease. But just like the round earth deniers, germ theory deniers really do exist, and in very large numbers now. These are extremes, surprisingly prevalent extremes, of a more widespread rejection of science with broad implications, including our ability to understand pain and identify ill-conceived treatments for it. The germ deniers have been there all along. They've actually been there from the beginning, since the dawn of germ theory. But in modern history, they got a bit of a boost in the 90s with HIV denialism. And then that really took off during the COVID pandemic. It has become a pillar of anti-vax garbage, and it is now disturbingly common with varying degrees of it spewing from many of the most toxic influencers, and now even from some of the more mainstream sources like Joe Rogan. It tips over into conspiracy theories because they think germ theory is a big pharma scam. The germs are just a pretext to sell drugs, sheeple. Dr. Andrea Love, who is really performing right now, she's just exploded onto the scene in the last year, as I think I may have said in previous posts. She tries to explain this phenomenon in detail in a post, and that is what inspired my exasperated analogy to flat earth inanity. How to talk like a germ theory denialist. The germ deniers are surprisingly common enough that when I originally talked about this on Facebook, I didn't think I was going to write a post about it. This was just one of those social media asides, just something that amused and interested me that I shared on social media, and I figured it would stay there. But genuine germ theory deniers showed up to crank and complain. And that kind of escalated things. For instance, this is an actual comment, quote, no virus has ever been isolated according to Koch's postulates. Or Koch's, I don't know how you add an S to C-O-K-O-C-H. Koch's postulates, I guess. Okay, that is the propaganda, standard talking point for germ theory deniers. Like, that's a really standard talking point. The idea that viruses have never been isolated isn't just a little bit wrong or even a lot wrong. It is spectacularly wrong. It is as wrong as anything can be. It is flat earth wrong. It is kind of like believing that the earth is flat because it looks flat from the ground. There is a lot about viruses yet to learn, of course. For 1,000 episodes, the This Week in Virology podcast has mostly talked about what we're learning and still hope to learn, and it's a lot. We still have plenty to learn about viruses, but isolating them, knowing that they're there in detail, that is not something that we still need to learn. We've been doing that for decades in many ways. And it's time for another image. This time, the description is really easy because it's a blurry image. It's a fairly low quality, you know, superficially low quality image. A negative stained transmission electronic microscope microscopic image, a TEM image, which reveals the ultrastructural morphology of a MERS virus. This is the much less famous member of the coronavirus family than SARS-CoV-2. It kind of looks like a collection of SARS-CoV-2 viruses because they're very similar in general shape. Round blob with spikes, with the famous spikes. So yeah, it's a bit blurry, but we're talking about something that's the size of a big molecule. There are some fancy and very precise-looking models of viruses. But for this piece, I wanted an actual photo, quote-unquote, of a virus to emphasize that viruses have not just been isolated, but you know, actually directly imaged by specific people who work very hard at it. In this case, Maureen Metcalf and Azibi Tamin. Coronaviruses were originally imaged by June Almeida decades ago, who got very little credit for her work for a long time. She was a pioneer. She imaged several of the well-known viruses for the first time, pioneered the techniques that are used to do it. She figured it out, and her whole career was dedicated to isolating and photographing viruses. And I'm sure she spins in her grave every time someone says viruses never been isolated. News to her. So let's go back to what that germ theory denier's talking point. To the unwary, the reference to Koch's postulates might make this denier sound like she might know what she was talking about, but do not be fooled. The only people talking about the Koch's postulates argument seriously, not talking about. The only people taking the Koch's postulates argument seriously are the germ theory deniers. It's just a slightly more specific form of germ theory denying propaganda. Koch's postulates are way over a century old, and Koch himself came to understand that they were wrong. They were part right. They were an important early step in understanding viruses, but it just wasn't the whole story, and science has moved on, like way on. I mean, it's how far has genetics come in the last century? It's moved as far as that. It's moved on that much and more. Citing Koch today in service of denying the existence of viruses or the need for vaccines is, well, I'd say cute if it hadn't all gotten so much more serious in 2020. If you want to know more about how weird and silly citing Koch's postulates is, David Gorski goes into detail on science-based medicine, as he always does. And finally, deniers will bring up terrain theory just as predictably as Koch's postulates. And it did, in fact, come up in that Facebook discussion. The idea here is that disease results not from external pathogens, but from an unhealthy internal environment, your biological quote-unquote terrain, which is kind of a weird metaphor. Which you won't encounter anywhere else. We don't talk about terrain theory in medicine. They reject the now obvious reality that it's both, that we encounter pathogens and our unhealthy internal environment is relevant to what happens when we do encounter pathogens, relevant to how it goes. So it's again taking an old idea that, you know, has a seed of truth, but leaning way too hard on it and totally ignoring much greater complexity around it. So terrain theory is great for selling snake oil to fix your terrain, especially detox scams, and that's about all it's good for. Germ theory denialism is all rather orthogonal to pain and its treatment, obviously. The connection is clear to me, though. Pain treatment is a world of mostly nonsense and quackery because that is what always fills the gaps in medicine, and it is hard to see through the silliness to the ideas that actually matter when you've got doubts like maybe viruses aren't even real banging around your brain and clouding your thinking. And I think that this is happening to a lot of people who aren't obviously germ theory denialists, who aren't germ theory denialists. They're not that extreme, but they're, you know, 10% of the way there or 60% of the way there. And they go a little further down that road every time some germ theory denying idiot references Cox's postulates and sounds like they know what they're talking about. But not only are viruses all too real, they are much likelier to explain your pain problems than backpacks, say, which I wrote about in the last post, or blocked chi, or unspecified toxins, or fill in any one of a thousand other low-quality ideas about where pain comes from, how it happens. Because I think that we are all constantly underestimating how much pain is caused by pathology. And how much of that pathology is driven by pathogens and collateral damage from our battles with them. And much of that error is attributable to a pandemic of underestimating disease itself. So I'm using germ theory denialism as a dramatic example of that more general, low-grade, slow-motion disaster. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.